Big Blue Insider is on News Radio 630 WLAP and WLAP.com. Get on the show. Call 280-CATS. That's 280-2287. Or toll free at 1-800-606-GAME. That's 1-800-606-4263. Big Blue Insider is brought to you by UK Healthcare. Now, here's Dick Gabriel.
Welcome to a special edition of the Big Blue Insider. Dick Gabriel with you. We are live on location at the Civic Center, the Bluegrass Ballroom. Site of tonight's cabaret show for the Children's Charity Golf Tournament. It is an annual tradition here in Lexington, and we are glad to be a part of it. Curtis Birch is actually on site alongside. Ordinarily, he's back in the studio, but I decided Curtis had to get a glimpse of this. And by the way, are you impressed with the silent auction items? I mean, there's a Pete Rose All-Star jersey over there.
Well, I mean,
you're going to need to bid on it.
Well, the problem is people are talking and music's playing, so it's not very silent.
It's up to you to ratchet down the noise with a huge bid on the Pete Rose jersey.
Okay. That's how that works. All right.
There's all kinds of great stuff, and one of the reasons is the hard work of Jeff Anderson, who is the first-year chairman. Mr. Chairman, thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having us.
You've been a part of this for a while. Jeff is a co-worker, a colleague from WKYT, and of course, we're one of the sponsors. But they turned to you and said, you're up, buddy. You're in charge. How's it going?
It's going great this year. This is year two of me being a part of the golf committee and the board. So when they asked me to fill Kim Sweezy's shoes, I'm like, those are big shoes.
Big.
And you know, this is the 38th year, and I'm the fifth chairman.
You know, I heard Doug Flynn say that the other day. That's incredible. It's 38 years and we've had only five.
So you've got Mr. Haymaker.
Yeah.
You've got Jim Stevenson, Rocco.
Rob Bolton.
Yeah. And then you've got Kim. And now, unbelievable. I don't know how I got in this seat.
Just lucky. All right. Now, I've just mentioned this to Curtis, but walking around, it looks like you guys have redoubled your efforts on the silent auction. How did that happen?
Second year in a row, Pam Heisenbuttel with Baptist has taken lead on it, and she's doing a phenomenal job.
Yeah.
And then in addition to that, our celebrities bring us some great stuff every year. I mean, you mentioned Pete Rose. We also have a Justin Thomas PGA Championship flag over there.
Wow.
We have an Alice Cooper signed guitar.
I saw that.
And it's just awesome.
Alice Cooper signed guitar.
Right.
It's very cool. One of my favorite celebs is back, Nick Searcy. He's an actor. He was in Justified, one of my all-time favorite shows. He's got autographed pictures and a shirt.
Bowling shirt
that he used
in Justified.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I hope people like that show as much as I did. But what has been your experience? How many years involved with a tournament now?
Four. Four total. Yeah. Actually, five. When I was a customer of WKYT, Chris Mossman, our general manager, invited me to come play. And that was my first year, and I got to play with Rick from Whitesnake.
Rick Saray.
That was my first.
Oh, man.
That was my first experience.
Whitesnake, Foreigner.
Oh, yeah.
Three Dog Night.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know, he's got a couple of years on you.
Just a few.
So that's like walking you back through, or at least your teenage years, right?
Oh, yeah. I've still got the cassettes.
Do you really? And he was just, Curtis and I heard him doing sound check. He's going to perform again tonight.
Oh, yeah. Tonight's going to be a special night.
And he loves the kids.
Yes.
He really does.
Oh, yeah.
And you and I were talking about that earlier. What does that mean to you to be a part of that?
To be a part of this, not having kids myself, been married for 18 years, it's my way of supporting children. You know, on Monday, as an all-volunteer group, no one gets paid from Children's Charity Bluegrass.
Right.
We gave out $355,055 across 37 different agencies.
Isn't that great?
And the ultimate reach, when I go through the applications from the agencies, more than 18,000 children impacted this year. And that's what gets me excited.
Yep. And for the entire run of the tournament, we're well over $10 million, right?
Hopefully this year we will break 14 plus million.
Oh, my gosh, wow.
So last year we ended at $13.5 million in total. So,
who's in charge of weather?
He better get it wrong.
I know, we're going to get a little bit of rain. We always do.
That's okay.
It seems like
it's okay. It's summer.
Yeah.
But Chris Bailey better get it wrong this year. Roll those sleeves up and roll them back down.
Yeah, that's right. But, no, I mean, even if you've got to take a little rain delay, you've got performers, you've got comedians, you've got magicians.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
You know, it's like a traveling carnival.
Absolutely.
All right, in your 4 years, I'll let you go with this. In your 4 years, is there one star you met who blew you away?
Johnny Bench.
I knew you were going to say Johnny
Bench. You know, the first year I – managed the WKYT bid.
Right.
I got him on the seventh pick. And I was like, how did I get Johnny Bench? I grew up, I wore number five as a catcher growing up.
Did you really?
Yes. And watched the Big Red Machine.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, I just want to play golf with Johnny Bench. And I was so nervous on the first tee. And I hit a bomb down the middle.
Nervous energy.
Oh, yeah. And he was like, this is going to be a good day. And it was a great day.
That's great.
So
Johnny Bench, you know, now, you know, you know Doug Flynn real well.
Love Doug.
He was part of the Big Red Machine, but you're like, meh.
He's the glue.
He's the glue, but it was all about the stars, right?
Oh, yeah.
Doug was like, he was there.
And this year I've got some friends that are playing as celebrities.
Yeah.
I mean, Tim Couch is joining us this year.
Yeah.
Rex Chapman. Those two are new. Tony Delk's joining us as a new star.
I saw that, yeah.
And you know, Matthew Mitchell.
Oh.
His generosity. He and Jenna are just, they're what you want in the world.
Well, he also gets to perform before a captive audience tonight at the Cabaret Show. First, I said I was going to let you go, but I got first time I ever came here and came to the Cabaret Show, I was pinned to my seat. I couldn't believe the show that not just the big-time name guys, but the local musicians, the songwriters from Nashville. It's an incredible show.
Those guys are incredible.
Yeah.
They're better than some of the country music stars that they've written for.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. Didn't that blow you away when you first saw
Completely.
All right. Go to work. I appreciate you coming
Thank
over.
Thank you very much.
Have fun tonight. I know you will.
It.
All right. Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you.
That's Jeff Anderson. He's the chairman of the Children's Charity Golf Tournament. As we mentioned, it is the Cabaret Show tonight. The bid party is tomorrow night when the companies, corporations get together, or just the groups get together and bid to play with the various celebrities. And, of course, all the money goes to charity. They play tomorrow. They play Saturday. We will televise from 3 to 6 per usual. You'll get a chance to meet everybody who plays in the tournament. We'll get them on camera, and we'll talk to just about all the celebrities. And if you'd like to come out, you can come to Griffin Gate. You can come to Greenbrier and get some autographs. It's a lot of fun. May have to dodge a few raindrops here and there, but it's a blast. We'll talk to some more celebrities coming up here on the Big Blue Insider. Dick Gabriel, Curtis Birch, and you. 630 WLAP. Welcome back to the Big Blue Insider. Dick Gabriel, Curtis Birch. And we are joined now by a celebrity, and I think this is a first. We're talking to a guy who used to cover this event.
That is true.
For WKYT, and now he is a true celebrity. Michael Leaves, one of our own, who's now with ESPN. How you doing?
I'm doing well, man. I'm doing well. It is funny because when they first called me to ask me if I could come participate, I was like, wow, this is truly coming full circle.
You were in town last to celebrate the retirement of Rob Brahman.
Yeah, that was the last time I was here.
That was fun, wasn't it?
It was. It was great to, A, honor someone that I have so much respect for, that being Rob Brahman, his tremendous career here in Kentucky, but also to come back and see so many people that I used to work with, used to work around, yourself included, Dave Baker, Kimmy Takei, came in from Utah. It was really cool, and I'm glad I was able to bring my wife this time to come and see this experience. This is only her third trip to Lexington, so she didn't get to experience much of this, so it's I'm looking forward to the weekend.
And what have you told her about this event?
Well, here's the thing. She's participated in a lot of charity golf events with me,
really?
So that part she gets.
Okay.
It's just the I don't think she understands the scope of where the money goes to throughout so many various charities throughout the Commonwealth.
Michael left us and, no surprise, went to Memphis and then L.A., which is a great jump, and then to the East Coast and winds up at ESPN. Interesting times at ESPN.
That's what I've heard.
What's it like going to work, at least for a while there? Did you go in thinking, all right, what happens today?
You know, quite honestly, and they might not like if I say this back there, being in the inside of it and then and reading what people from the outside say, it's like it's two different places.
Oh, really?
It really is. Like, there was a report in the Hollywood Reporter the other day, yesterday I guess it was, and I read it. I'm like, I don't experience that when I go to work.
Yeah.
I can only speak for myself personally. And granted, some of the meetings they're talking about, I'm not in those meetings. So oftentimes, it's almost like the same way you talk to athletes, and they say we blow things out of proportion as it relates to their locker rooms and clubhouses. I get the sense that some of this is blown out of proportion. I think anytime there's smoke, there's some fire. But I don't experience any of the things they're talking about with this internal strife and this battle back and forth. I haven't seen any of that personally. I can say that 100%.
And you can't really worry about it. You just got to do your job.
If it doesn't affect my job, there's only so much I can care.
You're a big NBA guy.
Yeah.
Here you are. Obviously, the draft is going on. Mm-hmm. But from where you sit, and, of course, Michael, actually, you were an athlete at UK, played golf. But what's your take from where you sit on this flow of Kentucky players that's been heading up to the draft?
Kentucky's sending a lot of players to the draft over the last several years, obviously. Karl-Anthony Towns is probably the best player they've sent recently. Devin Booker's had a great – but those impact players, like, those seem to develop later. Like, we haven't had a guy come into the league in a while and just go, boom, he's a superstar in this league.
Yeah.
But the league has changed itself that you'd only have two or three of those guys every year anyway. You only get one Donovan Mitchell. You only get one Ben Simmons. You only get one Joel Embiid. But the fact that Calipari and this program keeps turning out NBA talent is pretty incredible. What did he say yesterday, the day before, that Kentucky players have $1.5 billion worth of NBA contracts? I mean, that's pretty impressive. And if I'm a high school kid somewhere and I hear that, I want a piece of that money. It's remarkable the talent that he comes through here on the regular basis and keeps being successful once they get there. But I think so many people here in Lexington, well, let me say this. As Kentucky fans, you don't want to see your players leave early because you want them to help your team win a championship. So when they leave, you feel some emotional attachment to them leaving, and it's almost like you're hurt a little bit. So then when they go there and they're not an immediate star, you're like, see, you should have stayed in school.
Yeah.
That's not how it works, though.
No.
That's not how professional sports works. But now you look at John Wall, how successful he's been. DeMarcus Cousins will have a great year before he ruptured his Achilles, and Karl-Anthony Towns, all these names I'm throwing out there right now. Once they get there, they eventually make a pretty good career out of being in the league.
Well, who do you like from Kentucky this year? I mean, kind of Dick Gabriel and I were discussing this. Knox or Gilgeous Alexander, who do you think has a more impact in the NBA? It's a tough call. I mean,
now, are we talking immediate or long-term?
Long-term, long-term.
I say Gilgeous Alexander. I think he is more unique in his skill set for his position than Kevin is at his. And that's not a knock on Kevin. It's just that, you know, at times the NBA can become very specialized. And if you can be a standout in this particular set of skills, then you're going to have a better career. And I just think his court awareness, as the year went on, just started to blow me away. Athletically, he's going to get stronger, and he's already a great athlete as it is now. But I think long-term, he will have the most impact on whatever team he goes to.
We had a caller the other night who said that he looks at Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and sees a lot of Rajon Rondo. You were around here when Rondo was playing. Mm-hmm. Can you make that link?
Yeah. I don't think he has the level of basketball IQ that Rondo had.
Who does?
Even when Rondo was in college, like his IQ was off the charts, and it made up for some of the lapses in his game, especially with his shot. But yeah, I could totally see that. A lankier, longer Rondo with some of the IQ that shoots it better. Absolutely, yeah.
What do you make kind of overall right now with the one and done? I mean, I guess it's going to probably move to back to high school.
Yeah.
I mean, is that going to be a positive move for college at the end, or is it going to be a negative?
Here's what they should do. They should follow the model they have for baseball.
Thank you.
It's not that hard, okay? And every NBA team now has an affiliation with a G League team now. So if you want to draft a kid out of high school, draft him. And as opposed to having an 18-year-old kid come to the league as if he's supposed to make an immediate impact, put him in the G League, let him learn how to play, and then bring him up back and forth like you do with the Reds or the Royals or the Braves or whomever.
Heck yeah.
That's the smartest move, because the kids who are exceptional in that regard, a LeBron James, a Kevin Garnett, a Kobe Bryant, those guys should have the opportunity to go play because they are exceptional. No other industry in this country do we limit someone based on their ability except for sports and professional sports, right? Those guys should have the opportunity. And if it takes 3 years, fine. But 3 years in college is not the end of the world either.
In your opinion, I know we're hanging a lot on the NBA, but it's that time of year. In your opinion, have the Warriors truly reinvented the game, or at least put a real hard different edge on it in terms of quote-unquote positionless basketball?
I think they're the face of the evolution of basketball because they were the first team to win a championship doing it. But you could go back a couple years before that, and the Suns really kind of did that too.
Yeah.
I mean, you had Stoudemire, who's really a power forward playing center with Steve Nash, and everyone else was just a shooter, right? Yeah. Sean Marion became a shooter. You had Tim Thomas on that team back when the Suns, they couldn't get to the finals and they couldn't win it. And eventually the entire league started to move that way, and then the Warriors were the first to capitalize on it. I enjoy watching it, but I'm also old school. I do like to be able to make a simple entry pass and have a guy with some post game and turn around and shoot a jump hook over somebody. I kind of miss that as well. But everything evolves. Every sport evolves. Look at baseball now compared to what it was 15, 20 years ago. It's no more move the runner over, hit a ball in the gap, let him score from second. Now it's either strikeout or hit a home run, right?
Oh, yeah.
Football's the same way. Like, it's not unheard of for 5 or 6 quarterbacks in the NFL weekend to throw 50 passes right. in a game. Yeah. He never had that before.
No.
So everything evolves. And,
hit 70% of them.
And hit 70% of them, yeah. It's become 7-on-7 in the NFL.
Yeah.
I guess the irony part about that, and obviously NBA drafts tonight, seems to be big heavy. Despite, you know, people wanting these guards, they're just not there right now, and they're going to probably have a couple centers near the top.
Well, here's the thing. Ideally, because it's basketball, you want the tallest player available that can give you all those skills. And if Mo Bamba and DeAndre Ayton and these guys can actually be that tall and defend on the perimeter now when they put people in pick and roll, then they're going to be a commodity because you can always get the smaller guys. If I can get a tall guy who can do all those things, now I'm ahead of the curve. So even though the game has changed in terms of being positionless, as Dick said, you still favor height over anything else.
Yeah. You were a basketball guy and a golf guy, but I think you blew your knee in high school and had to concentrate on golf. If memory serves, were you the first black golfer at UK?
No. There was someone before me a couple years before me.
Okay, but still, I mean, it was just that part of our history, and now it's, you know, there's been a lot of progress there. And you and I used to sit, I remember you and I used to sit in the office a lot and talk about Tiger Woods. And you were getting started in sports right about the time he was just killing it.
Yeah.
Now, will he win another major, in your opinion?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, and I wouldn't have said that last year. So I've seen Tiger play in person now in his comeback three times, twice in Torrey and this past year at Augusta. Last year, when I saw him at Torrey Pines, I'm like, it's not the same guy.
Yeah, no.
When I saw him this year, completely different. It's almost like watching Barry Bonds take BP. It sounds different. When Tiger Woods used to hit a golf ball, it sounded different than everybody else. I heard that sound again at Torrey Pines.
Really?
And that's why it gives me this feeling that he will do it again.
I actually played Torrey Pines many, many years ago. I don't remember playing it.
Really?
You know I was a bad golfer anyway.
Yes.
But I remember getting there. The assistant pro was a former UK golfer.
Oh, really?
And my buddy went to UK. And, like, when we're leaving, he goes, yeah, next time, I'll hook you up. I'm like, why didn't you come to us this time? But, you know, that's how terrible a golfer I am.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Kind of inside.
You have to agree so quickly.
Yeah. Sorry.
The sports media stuff obviously interests me, being in the business. But what's your favorite highlight to call on the Sports Center? Like, what kind of gets your juices flowing when you see it? Do you get to read about something?
It's probably more the moment as opposed to the sport. Like, I've been doing this for a long time. I mean, you know, Dick helped me get my career started way back in the day, helping, just sitting in the office in sports, helping him put together the noon sportscast for KYT.
Noon boy.
So I've seen a lot of things, and I've seen some incredible things. I've seen firsthand things I never thought I'd see before. So if I see something that just gets me emotional, again, emotional reactions as a fan, that's what I like. I mean, NBA is my favorite sport to watch and to maybe do a highlight because there's so much action back and forth. But if there's something great in hockey, I live for it. If it's something great in baseball, like, I can do a really good golf highlight if the action is exciting, you know. It's more about the moment for me than it is a sport.
How much study did you have to put into hockey? Because we didn't cover much at KYT.
Hey, we had the Thoroughblades.
We had the Thoroughblades, and we all had to go to school on it.
Yeah,
but
a little bit.
But still.
Zdeno Chara is still in the NHL. He
How
played
for
the Thoroughblades,
How
and he's
that?
The tallest person I've ever seen on skates. I tell young people coming up in the industry now, it's like, you can't be an expert on everything.
Right.
Especially if you're doing what I do, which is delivering the highlights for all sports.
Right.
So it's almost like being in college when you have to study for your classes per semester, and then you try to ace the final. But at the end of the semester, you move on to a different set of classes, and you may not remember everything you had there. So it's more like, what can I retain for the time that I need it? And then now that hockey's over, I won't think about Alexander Ovechkin again until, you know, October, unless he's drunk somewhere in Russia and some video comes up.
Which is entirely possible.
Yes, absolutely.
I got 30 seconds left. Favorite event you've covered in the field?
Masters.
Had to be.
Masters. It's my favorite sports week as a fan.
Yeah.
And to go there for the first time, it was everything I thought it would be and more. And to be able to, thankfully, with ESPN to go there two straight years now, it's by far my best.
Thanks for coming over.
Absolutely,
man. Go have some fun.
Have some more drinks. Is that okay?
Yeah, absolutely. It's on us.
Thanks a lot.
See you, Michael. That's Michael Leaves of ESPN, formerly of WKYT. Always good talking to Michael. And, we had some fun in the old office back in the day. See, Curtis, now you've been another celebrity.
Yeah.
That's why you're here. All right, when we come back, more celebrity chatter. We're back in just a minute. It's the Big Blue Insider live from the Children's Charity Golf Tournament Cabaret Show, 630 WLAP. Welcome back. We are live on location at the Bluegrass Ballroom at the Lexington Civic Center, site of the Children's Charity Golf Tournament Cabaret Show. Tonight we're talking to celebrities Bob Dickerson has joined us. Now, you were career Marines.
36 years in the Marine Corps.
And tell everybody how far you got. It was a pretty good run.
I was a draft lottery choice. Unlike professional sports, I was 10 on the draft lottery. So the government decided what I was going to do. I came in, and I fell in love with it. And 36 years later, I retired October of 2008, and I made Major General.
Major General from draft lottery. Now, that means you obviously can start at the very bottom, right?
I came in with what's called Platoon Leader Corps. Came in, went to boot camp, and as long as I was in good standing in college, there was one year that was kind of iffy, but when I graduated from college, I got commissioned. So although my record says I was a sergeant in the Marine Corps, that was just for pay purposes and going to boot camp. But I came in as a second lieutenant and worked my way through after that and enjoyed most of it.
And here you are back. How many years in this tournament with us?
I believe this is my 11th year with Doug.
Wow. I was going to say.
He brought me here for the first time in 2007, humiliated me on stage with Michael Finney and a lot of other folks in front
They've
of a lot
of people. They've done it to a lot of people, yeah.
I understand I'm in good company. But Doug and Johnny and a lot of the folks here had come down when we did events to help take care of the wounded.
Yes.
And they do that every year religiously. And I told him, look, as long as you have low standards, I'll be more than happy to come up to Kentucky and help you out. And this community and what you do every year at this event is phenomenal. I will continue to come when Doug or Johnny calls. I'll be here as long as they want me.
I'm wondering, because I've interviewed you and other veterans on the course during the tournament telecast, and I wondered, I'm certain you don't consider yourself a celebrity.
I'm just typical American out there trying to make a living and bringing it home. If my family had to depend on me for professional sports to put shoes on them and food on the table, they would have gone barefooted and very hungry over the years. The military is a great way of life. What they do, what they train you to do. And you got to remember, the kids today wearing the cloth of the nation, they're all volunteers. There's nobody making them come in. They want to make a difference, and they do that every day, and they make us proud in what they're doing. So it's good now. My oldest son, he's in the Marine Corps. Now, he also turned down a presidential and congressional nomination to go to the Naval Academy.
Wow.
So after I paid for 4 years of college, then 9/11 occurred, and he decided to join the Marine Corps. But I made sure he went in and talked to his mother to make sure that I had nothing to do with that decision. Yeah. Because I'm still scared to death of my wife.
Wise man. Now, that runs in your family. Your dad was Marines.
My dad was a Marine in World War II. My father-in-law was in the Army Air Corps. My mother-in-law was in a Navy Wave. So everybody for generations has done their part.
Wow. And tell us some of the places where you've touched down, where you've put your feet in the sand. Where have you been?
Just about everywhere.
Right.
I mean, I've been in the Middle East quite a bit, all throughout the United States, Korea, Okinawa, around the globe 2.5 times. And now the difference, I was telling people today, they were talking about going on cruises. Well, I've gone on cruises with my wife, but the difference between being military and being a civilian is you pay for a cruise. When I deployed, but on active duty, it was a deployment. The U.S. government paid me to go out and do that. But it's a lot more fun to be in the fantail of a ship with your wife than it is with 15,000 Marines and sailors.
But otherwise, couldn't you tell them where to dock, whereas with the crews, they dock where they want to dock, right?
Oh, no. That's the Navy's job.
Oh, I see.
As a Marine, they would just kick us off from time to time and say, go ashore. Come back when it's finished.
I got you.
What lessons, I mean, did all that service end up teaching you, if you could kind of boil it down to just a couple?
Honor, courage, and commitment, which is... A lot of people look, they're hiring. That's why the veterans is such a target-rich environment to hire for businesses now, is you don't have to worry about them showing up for work. They'll be there when you tell them to come to work, and they'll be there till the end of the day. And they'll give you a good 8 hours a day or however long you want to do that, very dependable. It's not saying anybody isn't, but that's part of the transition. When you take a civilian off the streets, you put a uniform on them, you train them, and when they come out, hopefully we return a better citizen to America.
I know you want to mingle, so I'll let you go with this. You talked about the tournaments that Doug's been a part of. I think it's down in South Carolina, looking after the veterans. And we just talked last night with a former Kentucky football player who has an annual golf tournament to benefit the Wounded Warriors. It seems like there's more awareness now for the vets, for the Wounded Warriors. I know there's still a lot of red tape in Washington with the VA and all that, but do you find that to be the case?
Now that I'm retired, the red tape is not as bad as it is while you're on active duty.
Oh, no kidding.
You can't promote events. You can't collect money. You can't touch a dime, or it'll go bad for you. So organizations like the Celebrity Players Tour, what Doug and Johnny have done over the years, they go out and they come in and take care of the wounded, take care of the families. They see them. Quick vignette, Johnny Bench, the first time he came down. You normally have to be quiet on the golf course when people are out there swinging. You're not supposed to have cell phones or anything
right.
else. Well, a lady was holding a cell phone, and it went off in Johnny's swing. And Johnny, first time I ever seen him visibly get a little bit upset. He didn't say anything. And the lady said, "I'm so sorry, it's my husband." And Johnny looked at her and said, "Where's your husband?" And she said, "He's in Iraq."
Oh, my gosh.
And Johnny's entire expression changed, and he sat down on the bench. She gave him the phone. He talked to her husband, who was in the fight in Iraq.
Wow.
And when it was all, because they were great Cincinnati fans.
Oh,
that's
no
why
kidding.
She was following. When it was all said and done, Johnny's got tears running down his eyes, down his face. He says, "When he comes home, here's my phone number. Call me. I'm taking you to a Reds game."
Nice.
So
that's one of the great stories ever.
That's the spirit. That's the people that love coming to this event. And as, like I said, as long as they want us here, we'll be back.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, General.
It's a pleasure. Y'all have a good night and enjoy the show.
See you out on the course. Appreciate it. Bob Dickerson, retired Marine, Major General Curtis. Are you impressed? We have that,
yes,
that
very
caliber
much.
Of,
very, very much.
That
so.
Caliber of a guest on this program right now.
Yeah, I had to sit up straight.
That's all it took?
Yeah.
All right, we've got more guests coming up. We're going to talk to more celebrities in just a minute. It's the Big Blue Insider live and in color on location here on 630 WLAP. Welcome back to the Big Blue Insider. We are on location at the Children's Charity Golf Tournament Cabaret Show at the Bluegrass Ballroom at the Lexington Civic Center. Joined now by actor Gary Hudson, who has been with us several times. And you just keep coming back. We're glad to have you.
I'm glad to be here. I love Lexington. I love coming back. My grandfather was from Boone, Kentucky.
No way.
So I grew up watching UK basketball. I'm a big ACC fan, but I also love Kentucky. And I'm from Virginia originally.
But so. You've been in Hollywood for quite a while. A lot
yeah.
of movies, a lot of TV movies.
Yeah.
People have seen a little film you were part of called Roadhouse.
Roadhouse. I'm making my regular Saturday night thing. That's right.
What's it like being a part of a movie? First of all, when you all were making that,
yeah.
did it feel like something that had that kind of legs?
You know, it did. Patrick and I were good buddies. We did Skate Town USA together. We did the Renegades together. We started out studying together. So he
wow.
was a good buddy of mine. Then we ended up on Roadhouse together. And it just was one of those films I knew it would be. Like, I knew it would be one of those guy favorite movies, you know. It's a guy movie.
Oh, yeah.
And, it, you know, I have people that yell at me in the street, Roadhouse.
No
yeah.
kidding.
Oh, yeah.
No
oh,
good.
Yeah, man. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Especially when I'm in the South.
And you know. it just stays alive on cable TV?
It does. It runs all the time. Makes me feel old when I look back. That was 1989.
Did a check still roll in for that one?
They do. It's unbelievable. It's
Are they getting smaller?
They're getting smaller, but they're still, you know what? I'm still grateful. I'm still grateful for every amount that comes in.
Oh, yeah.
And every bit of money that comes in.
But so. We were just talking off air, too. You've done a lot of Lifetime films. I mean,
yeah, I've done like 17 Lifetime movies.
It's a competitive industry, obviously, but... There's work out there. You just got to keep grinding.
You know what? You got to have to, like, I've started a book about, you know, my life and things I've done and the travels I've made. But you got to have a, you know, it's not an easy, like, people think, oh, hey, little kids go, I want to go up and do that. I want to be that.
Yeah.
You know, you
got to
work really hard. You know, I probably paid for 5 college educations with my training.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. If you really want to do something like anything, whatever you want to do, you've got to work at it, you know. You've got to take the time. You've got to work out. You've got to be dedicated. You know, what I don't like is when I say, well, I think I'll be an actor. You know, people just say that, I think I'll be an actor. Oh, you just think you're going to be one? Okay, well, that's great. That's
well,
great.
How did it work for you?
It's worked well for me.
But, I mean, how did you get there? You didn't just sit back and say,
you know what?
I think I want to be an actor?
I had a friend of my uncle's who was from San Francisco, and he grew up in my hometown, but he lived in San Francisco, and he came out when I was a junior in high school and said, you should do it. You would be great. And I was always a movie buff. I always
oh,
loved
really?
It. But I was a football player, basketball player, tennis player, And I also sang in the, you know, the male choir and the barbershop quartet and the acapella choir. So I was in high school, and I just
performing.
Yeah, and I was in college and just my second year, and I just knew I wanted to do it. So I just went out there. I just left. I didn't know a soul, and I went to L.A. and just started studying and just went after it.
We talked about Roadhouse, but what was your first – what do you consider your first big break?
Hooper with Burt Reynolds.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, Burt got me in the union. And
nice.
We worked – I worked 5 weeks at the Palomino Club in the Valley, a very famous country western bar. And that's where the guys all met, all the stunt guys met at the Palomino Club. But they cut that 5 weeks down to about 3 minutes in the movie. That was my first movie. But it was so great. I was $5,000 a week.
It'll work.
I was 21 years old. I was going, oh, this is good.
Yeah.
I'm liking this. You know, Brian Keith threw me out a window.
Oh, okay. Well, you survived it.
Yeah, I survived it.
Did you do a lot of stunt work, too? Or?
I've done a lot of, yeah, I was kind of known as a, like, you know, I almost went into stunt business, but I did most all my own stunts. I've done, you know, so many fights. I fought Chuck Norris, Patrick Swayze.
And survived and, Chuck and, Norris?
Yeah, well, you know, Chuck and I did Walker.
Oh, yeah.
And Chuck, I'm a martial artist, so Chuck would, the stuntman did a lot of the stuff, but Chuck would come out when he knew somebody was good. So Chuck came out. And we had this fight scene, and he kicked me so hard on a spinning back kick. He kicked
that's
me. He goes, you okay? I go, yeah, Chuck, I'm okay. Next time we did the scene, I just popped him good, right? You know, just like, you know. Of course, Chuck is his show, so he had to kick my butt.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly.
He kicked my butt, but it was, yeah.
I appreciate lot, you know. Coming over.
Hey, man, it was fun.
Thanks for coming back to Lexington.
Oh, great. I mean, this community really turns out for this event, and it's wonderful what they do. So
we'll see you out on the golf course.
Yeah, thank you
appreciate
so much.
Gary.
All right, brother.
That's Gary Hudson. Appreciate it, sir. A man who survived a fight. Coach, put that on. You know how to work that. A man survived a fight with Chuck Norris. Did you hear that? When he was in a put, go ahead and put your headset on. Gary Hudson, the actor. Survived a movie fight with Chuck Norris. Not many people can say that.
No, it must have been a movie.
This, of course, is Hugh Durham, one of our favorites. He is a Louisville native, and he has been to our tournament many times. Good to see you again.
Great to be here.
And how's your golf game?
Improving, if it's possible, at my age. I had my knees replaced back in October, and... So I'm rounding into some better shape. But you, when you say you get better, when you're way up here, you know, better in golf is way down here.
Yeah, I understand. The NBA draft is tonight, and as we all know, a lot of guys are going 1 year and leaving. You coach one of the greatest players in the history of the game, and Dominique Wilkins, and I think you had him, was it 2 or 3 years? 3 years?
3 years, yeah.
Almost unheard of to leave after 1 year back then.
Oh, yeah. And, well, what happened with Dominic is his first year, we were flying along pretty good, and he got hurt in the Alabama game, messed up his knee, and came back and got hurt again. So he stayed, and then fortunately for us, after his sophomore year was a good year, but he decided to stay his junior year. And we, you know. And as you mentioned, today that would not happen.
No.
But neither would we have been playing against Bowie as long as we were.
Well, that's true. And you know what's interesting is people, our memories all conflate. But when they think about Georgia or someone, you know, Georgia made the Final Four in such and such a year. And they thought, oh, Dominic Wilkins. But he was gone by then, wasn't he?
Well, the year after that.
Yeah. And but how did you guys survive the loss of a great player like that? Well, and get to the Final Four beat North Carolina on the way.
Yeah. The only time that we beat North Carolina, of course, Coach Dean Smith was coaching, and we started playing them when, you know, I got the job in 66, 67, and we started playing them. And we played them in Tampa. We played them we didn't play them in Tallahassee. We played them Chapel Hill, Greensboro, L.A., Syracuse, and the Garden. And the only time we beat them was in the tournament. In 72, we beat them again in 83.
Yep.
But we had good players. Dominic wasn't the only one.
Right.
And a lot of people thought that reason we did as well as we did is we were losing a guy that was really good. And when you have a player like that, a lot of times players look for him and they don't give themselves a chance to grow. And so he left and we came together and well, the rest is history, you could say. But it was, and Dominic answered, somebody asked Dominic what he thought. He said, if I'd have been there, we'd won it all. Well, I'll go along with that. So, yeah.
Such a great, great, once-in-a-lifetime talent, really. But he played at a time when there were so many great forwards in the SEC.
Oh, hey, listen, the SEC, of course, everybody says when their era was, but in the 80s, the SEC was tough. Kentucky was always tough.
Right.
And LSU at the time was really tough.
Final four?
Yeah, and Alabama was strong, and we were strong, and Tennessee was strong, and you know, at the end of the 80s, Sloan got there, and they won the league in 89. And I mean, it was a tough league. Vanderbilt was good, you know. And Vanderbilt's always good in
CM
Vanderbilt.
Was there, yeah.
Yeah. Well, doesn't matter who's there. When you played in Vandy, Vanderbilt was always good because it was a different setup there. You know, you've probably been in there. And
oh, yeah.
Coaches, you sit on the end of the floor and all that. But. Yeah. But the league was really tough. A lot of good players.
What do you think of the league now? It kind of looks to be making a little bit of a comeback. Yes,
it seems to be. For the last year or so, it's gotten better. Before that, the SEC was probably as down as it's been. I mean, when the SEC's only getting two and three teams in the tournament, you know the league is not really strong. But now, last year, they got six or seven. So that speaks well for the quality of play.
We mentioned the one and done. Can you imagine now, Coach, going out and recruiting a kid and pouring as much energy as you have to and perhaps only having him for a year, what that must be like?
Well, then you know how much a strain it puts on Coach C up here, you know, Coach Cal.
Yep.
I mean, he has to go through that. And you know, whether you're for or against, you know, it's kind of like that's the rule, and that's what you go by. And, you know, he does a fantastic job of bringing high school greats together, and they'll struggle early. But by the middle of February, the job that he does defensively with those guys that are freshmen and sophomores is phenomenal. I mean, it really is. I mean, everybody likes to shoot it. And everybody likes to think they're shooters.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and like I've often said, there's only one thing worse than a bad shooter. And that's a bad shooter thinks he can shoot. You know. And everybody thinks they can shoot it.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Kentucky didn't have many of those last year. Yeah. I mean, really.
Yeah.
And when they were able to hit the three ball, you know, they could knock off anybody in the country. Yeah. But the back of your question, your thought is, you know, it's got to be frustrating. You know, I mean, to bring a kid in and then he goes. But unfortunately, the NCAA has nothing to do with that. It's all centered around the NBA.
Right,
and
exactly.
I think the NBA is selfish. They got a lot of heat about taking kids out of high school. All the league is taking these kids. And so they say, we'll just make them sit out a year, and then they'll be ready for this grind.
Yeah, right.
Where in NFL says three, and baseball says you start college, it's three. Basketball says it's one. And they got the best minor league system going in college basketball, and that's what they use it for.
Yeah. It's going to change, I think. I really do. Coach, thank you for joining us.
All right, as always,
thanks for coming to the tournament again.
Yeah, we have a great time. It's always good to be home.
Good deal.
Yeah.
Louisville Eastern High School.
That's it.
Hugh Durham.
Yeah.
East End of Jefferson County. Trinity High School here.
Where?
Trinity High School.
Okay.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, one of my best friends is Wade Waring.
Oh, no kidding?
Yeah, you know Wade?
Know his name.
Yeah, well, his grandson was down there playing center for – the quarterback that's at Purdue now.
Jeff Brom.
Yeah, I think his son was center, so he's a big backer.
There
Trinity.
You go.
Trinity wasn't there when I was there.
I know, but we came along and we did okay.
Quick.
Thanks, Coach. That's going to do it for this edition of the Big Blue Insider. What do you think, Curtis? Impressive? You've met Hugh Durham.
Very impressive.
You met a guy who fought Chuck Norris, and you met a Marine Corps general.
And they weren't the same person.
How about that?